It would be a waltz, but eh?
On goes full. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Flats in the shot. What a goal!
Hello and welcome to the Wolves Fancast. Proud to be partnered with the 90 Minute Network. It's me, Adam, in the driving seat tonight with Stu, Kim and Jordan as my passengers as we talk about the first league game of the season and a game with full stadium of fans, no less. So that's probably a good place for us to dive straight in. 18 months it's been without having a full set of fans in the stadium. So first off, I just want to get your experiences and how was it for you? How was it with a full crowd of fans? And tell us what your away day was like. So Stu, I want to start off with you. Tell us what it was like to finally be back amongst a stadium full of fans.
It was great once we got in. Taking 40 minutes to get, 200 yards? Through turnstile because there have been vigorous searches. That's what the steward described to me, what the delay was, which I've never seen anything so ridiculous in my life. And I thought at first that it was going to be an issue with the print at home tickets because why else would there be a problem? But when we finally got to the front of the steward who wasn't being screamed and shouted at, he just said that, when they turned up in the morning, they would have said, you need to be thorough. And it was, they were being searched as if you were going into a prison. Well, they were checking every orifice for a nail file and everything like that. But I think once we got in there, though, we were 4 minutes into the game. But you could hear it as soon as you walked through the turnstile. It was incredible. Just the wall of noise that you, after, I mean, the now infamous song of 18 months and you still don't sing was very appropriate for them lot. Because, I mean, I don't know what they've been doing. If they've won an FA Cup and a Community Shield and they turn up and sit in a library, it's ridiculous. But the atmosphere was up there with one of the best away days of the last 5-6 years. It was superb.
Yeah, I was. I went to the pub near the ground beforehand. It was good just to be back among the pub full of football fans. And I can agree. I do agree with you with the searching. I was thoroughly cupped. My arse was thoroughly cupped when I was searched. And the sniffer dog as well. But we got in all right. But Kim, how was it for you? I know you had a bit of a exciting day on Saturday.
Do you know what?
Don't tell us about it.
I think I've only just recovered. So I am actually going to reveal that I've literally just had to rewatch the match again because I don't know how I would have spoke about anything because, it was one of those days and I think, I got a bit overexcited to say the least. In terms of getting into the ground as well, I don't know. I think I remember the huge queue, but in terms of getting searched heavily, maybe it's obviously because women don't tend to get searched as much, maybe. I don't know. That's my experience anyway. But it just seemed really badly organised. Like, everyone was just seemed to be just in, not even in a queue in the end. But to be fair, I was very on time early, easily made kickoff. So maybe Stu should have been a little bit more prepared for this.
I was there at 25 past two.
There about 20 past and I made it.
I mean, to be fair, we clocked in on the first in the Wetherspoons in Ashby de la Zeus at 10 a.m. So we had a good 3.5 hours lubrication time before we got back on the coach to the ground. And any other time there, you get there 15 minutes before kickoff, no problem. But the problem this time was that the hot, because you got M1, M2, M3, normally you can just use any of them, all just go in. It's the same concourse, no problem. This time, the vast majority were in M2 because that's the biggest block. Whereas you had two turnstile blocks on the side of it, completely empty because the print at home tickets would, for some ridiculous reason, now you have to go through your designated area. And it just caused chaos.
To be fair, I didn't know that. So it was just lucky that I must have been in the right queue because, no, I didn't know that at all. But in terms of the atmosphere, it was absolutely brilliant. Considering I was disappointed in Leicester because I don't feel like they're a fan base that you would say, oh, they're really, really quiet. Like, I've been to Leicester loads of times, and I'm sure they used to be like a really quite a loud fan, despite the clappers. Didn't they used to have like a massive like drummer and like was proper like, you know, it's been all right, I'm sure.
The rather portly fella with the big with the drum, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you have got to worry if he's dead, you know. I mean, I did think, where's the fat guy with the drum? Because he's there and his belly was touching skin on the drum, as well as everywhere else around him. And I looked
so
up.
I didn't
and he
imagine it then.
No, no, he's always been there. He's always been there. So he's either dead or they're not allowing instruments in. But he. Yeah. When you need a drummer at a football game to generate atmosphere, that kind of says everything to it, really.
Yeah.
George, you must have, like most of us, you must have saw everyone online on Twitter starting out at 7 o'clock in the morning for a game that's an hour away. but then you think, we've finally been let out. People have been finally let out. We've been unshackled. Go and enjoy yourself.
No, I was envious. I was envious, I won't lie. Like I've said, I had the COVID jab the night before, well, 5:30 the day before, and watched the game on IPTV via Malaysia with a VPN, under a duvet, sweating my arse off. But, you know, it did sound good, and I did actually enjoy the game. But it's what it's all about, isn't it? Sort of, you know, like last season, whatever you want to say about it, you know. I know there's members of the fan cast that say fans made massive difference to last season. I think it's a level playing field, but you know what? Like, you know, seeing it and hearing it, fantastic. And I know a lot of friends who went there and had a great time. Obviously, a lot of people in the fan cast as well. So I was envious, but you know, my time will come, I'm sure. And like I say, looked a good day and an even better evening for some.
It was good to see some like familiar faces. I think when I was out, it was good to see some of the old familiar faces you see on the away days. And you got to see all the old sights and smells. So at halftime, going into a smoke-filled
swamp,
it literally was. I think it was like an inch deep of piss water on the floor.
But did you? Thinking,
we're back. Football's back.
It was that bad. I mean, I know some people will be listening to it this while you're eating or having your breakfast, so kind of skip forward 30 seconds. But the middle cubicle was that bad. There was a floater in there and people were deliberately flushing it to try and get the floater to come over the top and inhabit the floor area. I mean, I had brand new, quite nice Vans on as well. And I've had to scrub them clean because all that swamp water just destroyed it. They were green this morning, the day after. And I thought, you've had 18 months to get...
Who wears a pair of trainers, new trainers to an away game? I mean, come on.
I thought it'd be,
was this from the gents, still the ladies?
Yeah, they were. You saw them, you can attest to how luxurious they were.
Silky. Yeah. At that time, they were anyway, but it could have been the gloss off all the piss water, you know. never know.
Can I ask a quick question? With football being back, and something that's only just come to me talking about toilets. Was anyone pissing in the sink? Because that's always a valid question.
Usually
someone's got the leg up like a dog, pissing in the sink.
Well, there were when there were two out of three cubicles were broken at half time, and then obviously half the toilet block was filled with smoke. So the half that wasn't smoky, you could probably get six blokes around and one in the corner if you're like Dan, and so there were two sinks. So what's going to happen? Inevitable.
Fair enough.
Football's back.
I had to really like squeeze into the corner in urinals, and then when I come out, it was like stars in your eyes, all the smoke just coming out of the toilets was coming out. But
I've never experienced this.
Is it like rose petals in the women's and stuff?
No, well, I actually lied. From what I remember, Leicester was fine, but I know in years back when we were in the championship, I'm sure I did experience men pissing the women's toilet sinks quite a few times.
I think on this slight tangent subject, we'll get off it in a minute, but I mean, the worst one for that sort of thing was Bradford away in League One, where it was just open season. If there was a space anywhere, you just piss in it. It was just sprays everywhere in the Bradford toilets.
That was like the Vetch field when we played there once in 1999. and you the water in the, this one, there was one side, the ceiling must have only been about 5'11". So any normal sized person would be like bending down, crooking your neck, and standing there. But there was either that or the other side, which was you walked in and it was like an old coal shed made of brick, and it was had a domed floor. So everyone kind of stood back to back and pissed outwards onto the walls of this brick shed. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But, yeah, we've moved on.
Brilliant. Right. Well, we'll slowly wrestle it back onto the game itself. So 3 o'clock came, kickoff commenced. But before that, let's just look at the team lineups. Was there any surprises, or was there any lack of surprises on the team sheet? George, what did you think when you saw the team, as you expected?
Yeah, with the news of Semedo isolating still, it was the 11 I thought we'd be playing. It was the 11 from the Celta Vigo friendly. And like I said on the show Thursday, I didn't actually watch that game. So I was relatively excited to see how it went, to be honest with you. Looking at our bench, it screams the obvious that we obviously need recruitment. And I know we'll probably touch on that in a bit later on as well. But it's pretty much probably our... say strongest 11, maybe not, but in terms of the cards that Bruno's got to play with in that system, it was probably the safest 11, you know, and most secure 11. I've always think if you're playing a back five, I'd much prefer to have Aitnery out left wing back rather than Marcel. But at the end of the day, he's gone for safety first for me out there.
What sort of formation do you think it was, Kim? Was it a 5-2-3 or 3-4? I couldn't quite make. Sometimes just came to flick between the two. I think as the game started, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. I think it was intended to be. To me, it was a five at the back, I think. Traore did seem to be playing sort of fairly close to Jimenez at times, I think. But as Jordan said, I was a bit disappointed when I saw the lineup in a set, but not shocked. The sense that it's quite cautious in terms of fullbacks, and from what I'd heard, Lager likes to sort of play with higher fullbacks. I know we'll get onto the game in a bit, but I was just disappointed that we were played it quite safe. And fair enough, you know, Leicester are a good team, so maybe if we'd have played Aitnery, he'd have got caught out a number of times, I'm sure, with their wing playing their fullbacks. But at that time I don't know what I was doing.
Didn't know he was playing.
Didn't know he was on the pitch. So.
Stu, were you expecting something different than the old Neves Moutinho partnership in the middle for Large's first game?
That was the only thing that I was a bit surprised about, because I read Timothy's article on the way up there, and he was in that one, and it talks about how Neves, Moutinho are too similar, and Dendonka as well. And I thought, well, it clearly worked better when Dendonka was with Neves in the second half against Celta Vigo on Saturday last week. But I thought, well, if he's come out and said this to the Athletic of all things, which is going to get picked up everywhere, then surely he's not going to start Neves and Moutinho together. And then it happened. I thought, oh, okay. But actually, fair play. They actually played different roles for a change, rather than just be on top of each other, as we'll get into.
Yeah, so, I mean, onto the game itself. I don't necessarily want to go through like as a timeline, more picking out just like individual players and their effects on the game and the chances they had. And I think the best place to start is with Traore, who was quite vocal to Wolves in many ways, really, both in a positive sense and a negative sense. George, the old quote or cliche that gets trotted out a lot about Traore, you know, sometimes it can be frustrating, is the old, that's why he's at Wolves quote, because obviously he's got the individual attributes, but there's six to be a world beater, but, you know, he's obviously fall short in certain areas. And just keen to get your view on Traore's performance, and does that cliche really fit his performance on Saturday?
In a nutshell, I thought he was good. I know, again, seen some absolute shocking takes on social media, but like you do anyway, about, oh, he's shit, I'd sell him, he's this, he's that. Ultimately, look at the stats. He was the highest rated for XG on the whole pitch. He was the highest rated for XA, which is expected assists for all the non-XG nerds. he was obviously, and, you know, completed the highest amount of dribbles. I think it was 20 completed dribbles. Like I say, there's no reason, you know, we all know he's at Wolves because of his quirks and that's the truth of it. If he was more clinical, he'd be playing for Barcelona. So Barcelona never got rid of him because he'd been like Messi on at like bloody juice, basically. It's a poor miss in the first half. Second half, when he could have laid it across to Jimenez again, yeah, he should be doing better. But, you know, if you look at it in isolation, he was our biggest threat on the pitch. Once again, the only player really driving the Leicester back line backwards. And for me, I just think there's some shocking takes online where it's like, I'd sell him, I won't play him. Right, if you take him out of the team and out of the squad, who else is going to do that? Because Neto's not going to be around for a couple more months. So who have we got to do that sort of role? You know, yeah, it was a big miss, but if you can start working on that and start taking these chances, he could have a massive season for us. I'd really believe that.
Right. There's a reason he's still here, and that was it. Game is exactly the reason he's still here, and no one's coming to buy him, because I haven't been that frustrated since Bright's magnificent patheticness at Man City away. And since them two goals against Man City as well, Traore's finishing has been awful. Absolutely shocking. And you think, how have you got worse? In that game, he was great. He was superb. And there were probably harder chances than he had. But it's still the same old problems over and over again. His final decision-making is poor. And he hasn't improved. And I think the frustration is more than warranted now that he's been here for 3 years. And for Lars to come out after the game and say, yeah, we need to work with him, when it's blatantly obvious that what his issues are and what's the bad part about his game. Fair play, he's calling him out after the first game. And you think, well, he surely knows that. And the look on his face when he missed the sitter, he knows it himself. And I fully get where you're coming from when you say, if he's not there, then what do we do? But we might actually play a different way rather than just rely on him and his pace to get us out of trouble all the time. And there was more than enough times in that game where we didn't rely on him and we played some nice stuff. He's just so annoying that all anyone could talk about when we were walking out the ground after was how he had a good game, but he also lost us the game at the same time. And do we want to be doing this every week? If we're creating so many chances and we're fluffing them all the time, and he's going to be the main one at fault for it all, because I know we'll come on to Trincao as well. But for someone who's hasn't played English football before, he had the usual things of trying a few tricks too many. But he looked more likely to score than Traore, even with all the nonsense for me. And it's just so annoying because he's clearly got talent, but where does he fit now if he's going to be missing chances all the time?
It seems as though he's almost like his role has changed a little bit in his first game. He's very much more going to be getting chances his way. But Kim, what do you reckon? What did you come away thinking of about Traore? And what did you think of... Did he frustrate you half as much as he did Stu?
Do you know what? I actually think it depends if you're sort of a half glass full or empty kind of person on this. So I'm almost not sitting on the fence, but I get both sides of it. And it's like, he obviously is a great player and he single-handedly, I think, created a lot of our chances. There's no doubt about it. So if he didn't start, would half of those chances have even happened? Potentially not, because half the time he was getting through by his pace, you know. But at the same time, like he just typified it at the end of the game. All he needed to do was, at the 89th minute, roll that ball to Jimenez first time. I genuinely feel like I would have made that pass. Maybe I'm being a bit too, you know, overdramatic. But I genuinely think that if he just sometimes had his inks, like just play the ball, don't overthink it, and he waits too, like 1 second too long before losing it, or you know, he tries to side foot it. The one where he side footed it right into Schmeichel's arm, it's like you needed to put your foot through it then. So he never, it's his decision making, which is the key thing. Things that he has to do instinctively, not so bad, but decision making for me, yeah, he needs to improve it. But again, actually, he's my man of the match. So I'm saying he was no good. Saying his decision making needs to get better. But then who else really stood out? You know, like Trincao, yeah, had a few decent little runs and stuff, but I didn't feel like he was ever going to score either.
Are we being too harsh on him if we also say that Traore potentially, on your point, Kim, about him overplaying and making wrong decisions? I mean, Leicester got the throw that they scored from because Traore was overplaying. And there was a simple pass on, and he's tried to dribble it past two players. He's lost the ball. They've got the throw, and then they've gone on to score. I don't know if I'm being too harsh on him there, but that's another example of him where he's making wrong decisions regularly. But you know, as Bruno said, if he seems as though he's going to be the focal point of the team, he's going to be one of our more advanced players. He's going to have to get some shooting practice in. But based upon that game, Jord, what do you reckon? What sort of season are we going to expect from Traore going forward? Have you got a positive outlook for him? Is he going to have his best season yet for us if he's going to play this kind of new-ish role?
I hope so, yeah. I think that, you know, people will probably listen back to podcasts where I've slagged him off and call me a hypocrite. That's fair enough. But I feel like I've come out of the other side of it. I feel like someone who's in a relationship who, you know, maybe I've just accepted the quirks now and this is it, but I'm quite happy. The good outweighs the bad. And, you know, that's where I feel like I am with him now. He's, I think, you know, having him and Jimenez back up there, his best season for Wolves was, you know, that season, well, two seasons ago when we got to the Europa League quarterfinals where he's linked up with Jimenez. So he's got someone to play off. Yeah, I do think, you know, yes, he could be more clinical. Yes, I wish he would just put his head down and just run into a space. But you just know you're not getting that with him now. So I'm just accepting his flaws. I do think we'll have a big season. Like, I was really happy. It sounds daft. We lost 1-0. I was really happy with the 90 minutes. And I was really happy with what I saw. So I've got every faith that I generally think we're probably 2-3 signings away from having like a really good season again. I don't really think there's any reason why we can't be challenging for 7th again on the basis of what I saw in that 90 minutes. Maybe I'm a bit more positive than other Wolves fans out there, which is strange again because I'm usually slagging everyone off. But I've seen enough. I feel quite positive, and I think Traore is going to have a big season.
Are you right in what's been said, in that those the chances that he's had that he's either created himself or got on the end of, only he would be able to do it? Like, I think that shot that Kim mentioned where he side footed to Schmeichel, he's essentially made that himself by being stronger than Vestergaard. He's basically gone shoulder to shoulder and barged Vestergaard to the ground, and he's had the chance. And no one else in our team, you'd say, would be able to do that. But Stu, Keane, what are you reckoning to what you'd see Traore's season be like? Is he going to end up being our star man at the end of the season, or is he going to break the 10 goal barrier that we talked about?
I said earlier that I don't think he'll get 10 goals just because he's given me no reason to believe that he will get better, because he hasn't for 3 years. He's just the same. And I don't think, for him, it worked in a couple of games playing on the left. It just seems unnatural to him. And I think that when Raul was free, and if that had been the other side, he would have slid him in, no question about it. But when it's on the left-hand side and he's going to use his left, which he probably can't do that well, or the outside of his right, it's easier for him to just take it all on himself. And I don't think he, as one player, works best inverted. It might work for others like Trincao and Neto when he comes back, and Pedence. Well, Pedence is Pedence, but I think if he's going to be playing there and he's going to be playing inverted again, I can't see him getting more than 10 goals because he's just not, he just hasn't given me anything to believe that he can. I know it sends me being harsh again, but it's just so frustrating. I mean, here we are, like, 2 days later, 3 days later. It still wound me up so much. But like Kim said, though, he created the chances himself. So we are gonna be in this situation again, like we were with Jota in the last 6 months, where every time we got through, you knew that you most of the time he'd fuck it up. You just accepted it because that was the going rate. So maybe we do have to be more like Jordan and just accept what he is. And if he does score, then it's a miracle. And if he does, if the mean is that he's not going to mess it up, then if we get into that mindset, then fine. But for me, I just can't see him. Great as he is of what he does, I just can't see him changing, unfortunately.
Just going to flash my current beer mat for any YouTube. I'm still using my Traore beer mat at the moment.
I'm just had a quick Google on his stats. 141 Premier League appearances, only 7 goals and 14 assists. And for someone that's so influential in a game and how many chances he actually creates half time for himself, that's... Yeah, it's quite astonishing. And even in the season that we're talking about where we said for us he was probably at his best season, 2019-20, was it, maybe? Yeah. 37 appearances and still only 4 goals. So to think he's going to get 10 goals this season, he's going to have to, you know, double his sort of his quality from that season and more. So... I can't see it personally.
To use the Love Island quite like, you know, a comparison, for me this season's like his Toby moment. He's just gonna he's gonna settle down, he's gonna start banging them in. I don't think he'll get 10 goals personally again. However, I do think his output's gonna be better, both goals and assists, than what it has been for us. I think he's gonna mature.
The only Love Island reference I know is when someone says, "Can we have a chat?" So maybe Bruno will just pull him in for a chat. Well, talking about players then who get double figures, we'll move on to the goal itself. Jamie Vardy's of someone who obviously regularly gets double figures. I think we're probably going to be in agreement here that this goal should have been easily prevented. Kim, how did Pereira get past both Marcel and Moutinho after the throw-in? Because I can't believe you managed to get past it to get the cross in.
I'm not sure if you're joking when you said it can easily be prevented. I'm hoping you're joking because I'm genuinely not sure. Let's look. If you watch that game and it wasn't Wolves, there's no way that you'd be blaming the defence for that. Honestly, I think that was genuinely really good play from Pereira. And then an unreal finish from Vardy. Like, seriously.
The Vardy one was fine. Yeah, I think the cross should never have got in, for my money.
I think we've seen Moutinho get done. Well, he was the most dribbled player in the league last year and the year before. So him being beaten is no surprise. But Marcel, it was poor footing from him. But, yeah, again, I agree with that. It's took a bit of skill to get past two of them. It's no surprise that he's got past them two in particular, but the finish was world class. Nothing you do. And the celebration was superb as well.
But I think that I'm not, as Sue said, I'm not surprised getting past Moutinho, but Marcel's he's like a banker for a yellow card half the time. He's not going to just put his hands up and let someone just go past him as easily as he did. That was my thoughts anyway. I just thought, you know, that there's no way that he should be getting past two players there. But that was my view of it. And then the goal itself, George, what did you reckon to the finish? Well, the whole move itself. What was your take on it?
One of them should have tripped, pulled Ricardo back, whatever. Take a yellow card. The goal is just class. It's just good movement. And I know we're going to get onto Connor Cody because it's quite topical. And I've got my views on it and probably share very similar views. But what I can't get beyond is people trying to fit the Cody out agenda on this goal. Like, oh, well, Cody should have cleared it because it's the near post. Oh, look how he's gone to clear the ball. Well, it's all happened within a split second. And Vardy's got the run on him. It doesn't matter if it's Cody or bloody Mosquera or Bolly, you know, someone with a bit more athletic, you'd say. It's just good movement and it's just a very good finish. Like, I don't really think Cody could have done a lot more, if I'm honest with you, with that goal. We'll come on to his all-round play for the other 90 minutes because I know that's going to be quite a talking point. But I just don't like people's agendas at times on Twitter. It's like, it's just, for me, it's just lazy. Yeah, you don't have to rate a player, but you can't blame every single second or every single downfall. Oh, he should have been better. Like, no, for me, no, I don't think he could have done any more. It's just a very good finish. And the problem is, the ball should never have come in from the right wing. Pereira should never have been able to get past Martino and Marcel. Don't know what anyone else thinks, but that's just how I viewed that goal, to be honest.
I think the issue is that Wolves fans, genericising here, tend to have an agenda with the players that they don't like. So any little sort of wrong thing that Cody does, it's like, oh my God, we need to replace him ASAP. But if, and I can't even think of a player that's rated at the moment, but whoever, a player that they particularly rate, if they did exactly the same thing, it'd be like, oh no, it's all right, it's so and so.
If it had been Bolly, if it's Bolly, it doesn't get mentioned.
Yeah, Bolly, there you go, exactly. If it was Bolly, no, he's all, it's, you still keep him in the team, but if it's Cody, no, he's got to go. So I think I agree, actually. I think people don't give a sort of unbiased view, they give their view based on what their opinion of the player is.
So before we have a little discussion on Cody and the online opinion of him, there was a lot of online opinion as well about Vardy's celebration, which I thought was, I don't know, people are, what's the word, triggered? People are easily triggered, aren't they, now on social media. I even remember on the Saturday night, I think even Sky Sports Twitter account tweeted it saying, like, how about that Wolf celebration? How about that whole celebration? Obviously trying to, like, stoke up the flames. But what, I didn't see anything wrong with the celebration. I'd throw it open to the floor. I thought that's exactly, in fact, I'd have been disappointed if Vardy didn't do anything like that, because that's just exactly his character, isn't it?
He does it every time. He does it to everyone. It's not just us. There was no one there. Not one person was, oh, I'm offended. No one cared. Everyone was pissed off because it was him again. And he was, well, what can you do? And he always kind of, when they mentioned it on the Ramble today about how Vardy probably suffered more than anyone because he feeds off away fans and pissing everyone off. And that's what he loves it, though. So he's the celebrant. I mean, he did it. And as soon as he cupped his hands, I did giggle to myself. I thought, oh, you little twat. But that's what he is. I mean, you don't want everyone looking like Harry Kane and being all sweetness and light when he wants to be in the media's eyes. You want characters, and he's a character. He's probably got 2 years left. Just enjoy him while he's here. Everyone moans all the time about it all being sterile and football's better in the past. Yet when someone does something like that, oh, he offended the Wolves fans. No, he did. No one cared.
Nah, you know what? People are just, you do the same, wouldn't you? If I scored, I'd do exactly the same. I'd try and roll up.
Would you do the howl that Jamie Vardy did?
I don't know what. Well, it's very hypothetical now that I'll be playing.
I know you do, George. You'd attempt another cartwheel.
I'll the charity game. Yeah, I'm just like, put my back out. No, but, you know, you would want to be like a shitbag, like 100%. Like, you know, you just, it is what it is, isn't it? You try and wind up the away fans. At the end of the day, for me, you get, you know, they're getting pelters. You give it back. It's all part of it. It's like, there's nothing like sinister in it, or, you know, for me, there's nothing sinister in it. Look, but he used to do it to the Albion, Sheffield United, like all these, you know, he used to always score against the Albion and give them shit, that was quite funny.
And he did it against Palace, didn't he? And he did it like the eagle, like the bird.
Yeah. Exactly. But what's the problem? Like, it's just, you know what? It's just 2021 in a nutshell, that is. It's just like, oh, why would be offended? Like, couldn't give a shit.
It's horrible, but it's great. And no doubt, definitely had a skittle bomb afterwards to celebrate. Well, probably had one before, actually, before the game. But something else, obviously, that's been grabbing people's goat online, and one of the few players, the other players I want to talk about is our captain Connor Cody. Now, there's probably, you get most people agree that he didn't have his best game on Saturday. It wasn't one that he'll look back on fondly, but it's obviously that's amplified online, isn't it? So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, again, the Twitterati going after Cody, saying that he's got to go. And I've saw some tweets, you know, that have been quite explicit in saying that, you know, their opinions of him. But I want to know where you guys stand. So, Stu, do you want to kick us off by thinking, are people being, is Twitter doing what Twitter does and just being dickheads?
I'm kind of in two minds, because up until Saturday, I hadn't seen anyone really moan that much about Cody. And it's almost like when I mentioned it on the preview show last week that he could be the biggest disappointment of the season for this reason, that our influence and our reach has spread far and wide, that people have started taking me seriously. And from what my thinking was last week, he has got flaws in his game that we all know about. He was playing a sweeper role in a defensive side, which kind of covered for a lot of his problems. So when you move system to be an attacking side and he's going to be exposed more, can he deal with it? And when we played in back fours, yeah, he's played for England, but again, like I said last week, he played for England against relatively poor teams. And that was okay. But coming up against a team like that, he was exposed massively. And it's exactly what I was worried about last week. And it doesn't surprise me. It's more of a surprise that it took this long for people to think that he might not be that good when we change system. That's what's shocked me more than anything else. But I think just the general pile-on has been massively over the top. Yeah, he had a poor game and you could see he's coming a mile off. But it's almost like, yeah, Cody's a scapegoat now. Let's nail him.
I think what people forget, though, is that, like, you're playing against Vardy. Like, a lot of defenders struggle against Vardy. Even, like, the top defenders, you know, with his pace in behind, it's to be expected. And obviously, this is quite fresh in my mind because I have just watched the highlights. And he does obviously get caught out, as we know, a fair amount of times. But he does actually recover a fair amount of times. So probably there is probably, like, four or five times where either gets caught out or, you know, Vardy sort of passed him. But there's around, I'll say three or four times where he sort of saves himself. And he, you know what it almost reminds me of? When Richard Stearman used to be sort of this amazing defender in the eyes of Wolves fans, because he'd make these, like, last-ditch tackles. But that was only because he was either out of position in the first place or just not a great defender all round. And I'm not saying, obviously, Cody's a better class defender than Stearman, but I don't think you can take him out of the team unless we find a leader, because if you take him out of the team, we haven't got many leaders on that pitch.
I think we've got a ready-made leader. The king has just not been crowned yet.
Yeah. I know I stuck up for him for the goal, but I've said, you know, I've quite openly spoke about his limitations against a big guy. Mitrovic always gives him nightmares, historically. Abraham tore him a new one. That, for me, I generally think that was his worst performance in a Wolves shirt Saturday.
Yeah, easily.
Hand on heart, like, I thought he was all over the shop, honest to God. And no, I don't think he could do anything else with the ball. But there was a time in the second half where he sort of just, like, miscontrolled the ball a little bit. And then all of a sudden they're on the break on us. And again, like, I completely get why people are saying we need to drop him to improve. I believe that players have reached the ceiling with the old Nuno regime, and Connor Cody's probably hit his ceiling. He probably is not going to get any better. Yeah. Do I want him to be sold? No. Like, I generally think he's got a place in the squad, but if we are aiming for this, you know, European spots again, should he be a guaranteed starter for Wolves? No. If in the that's the complete honest truth, and he had a shocker. An absolute shocker. And I think that a lot of the stuff on Twitter is fine. A lot of it's very sensationalised and over the top for likes and retweets. And bang out of order, to be honest with you, for a player that's, you know, been with us for so many years. And, you know, he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve to be lynched online. I think he'll know and address it himself that he's had a bad game. But the barometer for me on Wolves Twitter is always King Kev, Kev G Wolf. And if Kev Wolf saying Cody's got to come out of the squad, well, at the starting 11, then Cody's got to come out of the starting 11.
Is he now just call us to the mast on that one then?
Yeah, Kev's tweeted saying, yeah, Kev tweeted. And that for me is enough to say, you know what?
The king has spoken.
Yeah, the king has spoken.
He had a bad game. Hang on a minute. He had a bad game, but it wasn't as bad as you're making out.
No, it was.
He was
out of position, but he recovered himself. Like, no. Three out of the six times he had to like make last ditch tackle. That doesn't make it okay. I'm not saying.
Can I just say this then? I can't believe I'm even saying this. How many times was King Kilman out of position? I'm like converted now. He was Maldini.
How many times has he ever been out of position? None.
Killed him.
All you lot.
But I can on Saturday. I definitely can on Saturday.
But that goes without saying, doesn't it? We all know he's a great defender.
I know. This is like the King Kilman original trio, and like I've been like converted. I feel like I'm part of the team now.
Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club, George.
It's King Kilman Club with a K.
Yeah, but in Cody was. I can't defend him. I thought it was generally was. I think his worst game in Wolves shirt. And if Mosquera and Bolly are fit, he's not playing Saturday, Sunday. But I know they're not going to be. It's just me hypothetically talking. Like, he would not be starting that game on Sunday if they were fit.
Before people pull us up on this, we can't have King Kilman Club with a K because we can't have KKK branding on ourselves. Let's just put that out there right now. But he wouldn't be starting for me either. And especially in a back four. I put it on, someone mentioned it earlier on, I can't remember who, on Twitter saying about if we're playing a back four, we've never had a back four with Kilman and Bolly together. It's never been tried. But why? Well, has it not been tried? Because Cody has to play all the time. Now it's not so much. Now it's a clean slate. And when he's fit, why not try?
Yeah, and to add to that as well, some of these people who are playing in defensive midfield, I'm not being funny, he couldn't play in defensive midfield in the Championship team. Like, there's a reason why he's playing right back, because he wasn't good enough to play there in that squad originally. So if he's not as playing centre-half, he can't be starting. And again, I'm not selling him or lynching him out. Great bloke. Can't really say a bad word about him. But do I think he should be a regular start in this Wolves team moving forward? No.
If we play a back five, he still starts. If we play a back four, he could be out of the team.
See? But then, so if Bolly and Mosquera are fit, who's your back three?
Bolly, Mosquera and Cody.
King Kilman.
No. At the moment, you're asking me what would happen.
In a back three, he's got to play in a five. Again, Mosquera we've only seen a little bit about, but this is what I mean. Like, your best three centre halves at the minute are Bolly, you'd say, Bolly, Mosquera and Kilman for me. And like I say, I'm nowhere near King Kilman Club with a C.
Yeah, but who plays that sort of middle sweeper role out of those three? We don't really know because we've never seen any of them do it.
The futsal man.
Well, let's adjourn the first season's meeting of the King Kilman Club and let's talk about the King, because I think obviously three out of the four of us on this pod would naturally have been biased anyway towards the King, but the stats and everyone else show that the King had a very regal game on Saturday, and he was one of the best players on, if not our best player, you know. And I want to get everyone's thoughts on, are people slowly coming around to our way of thinking that the King is indeed one of the best defenders that we've got?
I don't know why it's taken this long. Maybe because now he's got license to actually show what he can do with the ball at his feet. Ridiculously enough, because obviously he played futsal like everyone else. And I do think if he was foreign, that it would be different. I think it is just a kind of, because he came from where he came from, everyone thinks, oh, it's cheap and he can't possibly be any good then. Yeah, it's unconventional, but you can't, you know, he's never let us down, ever. Every time he turns up, he's always at least a 7 out of 10, just solid. He just turns up, does his job, and then he's out of the team again for a month for whatever ridiculous reason. But you put him in there, first game of the season, and he's man of the match against Leicester, who finished wherever they finished, who should have been the Champions League, if they hadn't fucked it up again. And they've just won the Community Shield the week before, and he's gone there, and he's taking the piss, and he's driving runs into the penalty area at the end of the game. Yeah. It's just incredible.
And he was playing right centre-back.
Yeah, and he's left-footed. Yeah. And I just don't. It's always baffled me. It kind of started as a joke to start with, but within a few games, well, there was talk about an England call up when we got to the Leeds game last season. He was playing, and then he was dropped. We didn't see him again for a month for no reason at all. So for me, it's been a long time coming that he's getting the appreciation that he deserves.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and Jordan, interested in your views as well, because obviously we're slowly getting you around into the KKK. So, tell me your thoughts then on what you thought about Kilman.
Very good. I don't know what to say. Just very good. He was, I was really impressed. He hadn't won me over. Ever. And like, you know, to be honest with you, I thought he played well at Leeds away last year, but I still thought top end championship player. But if you can do that consistently, then we've got the Ukrainian Maldini, like I've already said. So and I'm going to say he's Ukrainian because it'd be very uncool to say he's English, because let's go with the Ukrainian international. He was really good. Didn't put a foot wrong. His dribble at the end of the game was good as well, possibly could have scored. For me at the moment, well, you're asking me now to pick a team on Sunday. He's my first name at the back, which is, I can't believe the words coming out of my mouth, but Kilman would be the first name on the team for me at the back.
And just to finish off on this part, on this section then, Kim, any other standout players for you, apart from Kilman, obviously, any other standout players from Wolves that you saw on Saturday?
I don't genuinely think that anyone was outstanding apart from Kilman and Traore to a point. But one point I do want to make is I think that it showed that, in terms of fullbacks, there was a lack of quality. And I think that the game may have been different if we actually had Ait Nouri and Semedo getting forward. Because when I've just watched those highlights, the amount of time that the fullbacks actually got into positions that were a lot further forward than what we've been used to, I think, generally. And I think that if we'd have potentially even just started Ait Nouri, I think you might have seen a bit better output, because the amount of times that they were literally on the byline and just, especially Hoover, I reckon it was about 6-7 times he just put an awful ball into the box. He put one good ball in the box where Jimenez probably should have done a little bit better. So for me, I just hope that Semedo's back, at right back, and hopefully we go Ait Nouri left back for Tottenham, but I can't see it. I still think Marcel will probably start, and then maybe Semedo will hopefully come in if he's fit.
I think with Marcel, I think Marcel is kind of almost like he's covering left side of central defence as well, more than that, because of the weakness there. I think that has to really be the only reason why he's here, because Large signed off on signing Ait Nouri anyway, so he obviously rates him as well. He wouldn't agree to it if not. So that's the only thing that makes any kind of sense. And against a team that's going to attack you like Spurs, you don't know him, you know, but I agree with you, because it very much looked like you got two defenders playing wing backs when.
Yeah. They almost look like centre backs to me. They don't look.
Yeah. They are, though, aren't they? I generally think Hove, I said it on the previous show, I think Hove is a right of the back three, in my opinion. And I think Marcel, well, he's playing for Lyon in the Champions League, left centre half. Out of the three. So it's like, for me, having those two as wing backs is like having Ella Kobe and Ryan Bennett. Because the end ball, you just know, like, the quality going into the box isn't going to be good enough. And don't get me wrong, we all loved a bit of Elokobi and Bennett, Lord Bennett, as he should be called. But as wing backs, for me, it just doesn't work, and it does sort of nullify you. And yeah, let's not dwell on it. I still think there was enough positives in that game to feel positive, but just a few minor tweaks and we'll be fine.
I'm just on individual players front, what did we think of the debutants, Sarr and Trinquer, and also a little word on Jimenez on his first official game back? How well do we think those three players did?
I thought Trinquer looked as good as I've seen him so far. I didn't think he did a lot in the preseason games, but you can't take anything out of that. He could have maybe scored as well. I think Trinquer playing off that right will look a lot better with a wing back bombing on. I think him and Semedo will probably link up a lot better than him and Nova, because Semedo's natural runs will take a runner with him, give him a bit more space to cut inside. Jimenez, good to see him back. Still going to take him a bit of time, I think, to get up to full speed. I still think there's an opportunity or a big question mark as to whether, if Harry Kane gets sold to Man City, whether Nuno comes knocking. And Sarr, other than pick the ball out of the back of his net, I don't really remember him or recall him having to do that much in the game. So yeah, I thought, all three were solid, probably 6.5, 7 out of 10 performances, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so.
Go on.
I was going to say, Sarr had that one save from distance that he pushed around the post. He didn't look scared of coming off his line, which is what we knew.
That's
anyway.
Exactly what I was about to say. It's. I'm not. I think it was encouraging, but he was like a shot off his line a few times, and he thought, oh, I'm sure there was a few times where you thought, oh, he'd probably made the wrong decision there, but it was blue for a foul or something. So I think he's definitely going to be, I think, as we know, a different style keeper to Patricio. He's going to come off his line and hopefully sort of claim it. But I think, again, we've got to give him time as well, because it's a new league. But I think both him and Trinquer will probably, you'll see the best of them, after the first 10 games, and be able to give a sort of proper opinion on them. I don't think it's fair to sort of start judging them this early in the season.
Do we have any final note then on this game? Do we have any feedback on the first impressions of Bruno, and do we see any notable differences between him and Nuno's style? Because on the face of it, you think he'd kind of been a bit similar, okay first half, better second, but did we see any notable differences? And I'm assuming we're going to agree that a draw probably would have been a fair result as well.
I mean, it's very rare where you come away from a defeat, but a defeat that's as frustrating as that was for the reasons we've already mentioned. But I can't wait for Sunday. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And from the dirge and nonsense that we've had to suffer for the last 18 months under him, it was so refreshing to actually attack and go forward and not be scared to go over the halfway line.
Do you not think you're being a bit over, like, dramatic?
Me?
Yeah, I genuinely subtle differences, but I mean, let's be honest, we started with a back five still, fair enough, because we still haven't got the players to properly play a back four, but I don't know. I still think we were pushed up a little bit further, but I don't think we played this pressing game that we thought we might do, hunting for the ball, sixes and sevens, a bit like what Brentford did to Arsenal. Like, it wasn't like that, was it? Let's be honest.
But Brentford have had 3 years of doing that, though, and we've had 3 months. I was just... Obviously, I'm kind of emphasising it for comic effect. But now I genuinely are. I'm really looking forward to Sunday, because it's just such a change. And yeah, we kind of talked about it last week, about how a back five, 3-5-2, whatever, doesn't have to be a negative thing. It's a system, but within that system, it can be positive. And I mean, to have 17 shots away at Leicester, yeah, only three were on target, whatever, but to have 17 shots, we probably didn't have 17 shots in a month last season. It was just, it's a breath of fresh air that you can see getting better and better. And for a first game, I was well impressed.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, talking then on Sunday, we'll discuss that game and the return of him in a minute.
Hi everyone, Matt from Wolves Fancast here. If you're anything like me, time is of the essence these days. How am I meant to take training with my wonder kids on the managerial football simulation game that I'm not allowed to mention for legal reasons if I'm too busy worrying about my online media presence? Well, that's where our friends at pixelyetimedia.com come in. They're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all of your design needs from websites, brochures and signage to marketing, logo design and branding. So go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. They'll get you set up quicker than Adama Traore running at a terrified left back. Speaking of which, who's got my baby oil?
Okay, welcome back to Wolves Fancast. We are now going to discuss the game on Sunday coming up. It promises to be a bit of a dynamite occasion on Sunday. We're going to have a full house back at Molineux again for the first time in 18 months. Everyone will probably be out nice and early again for this one in the pubs around the town. We've got Spurs. Do we know anything about the manager at all? Anyone want to take this one up? Where we've obviously got a bit of Nuno versus Bruno sentiment brewing online and has been for the last 24, 48 hours, where I think we probably all noticed some tweets. Some people wanting to go to the extremes of giving Nuno another royal welcome back on the coaches at Molineux, to wanting to give him a standing ovation when he comes out to the dugouts and chant his name. Others saying, well, he's the enemy now. We need to be chanting for Bruno, not Nuno. Kim, where do you stand on this? Before we dive into the game itself, what's your views on this Nuno versus Bruno? And the people, again, going a bit off-piste with their viewpoints online. And
I don't understand boring, but I can see, I don't understand why people are making such a big thing on this, and you've almost got to like pick your side. Like, I don't really, obviously I love Nuno. And, you know, it's going to be weird. He's got his new, like, look as well. I think that's the worst thing, isn't it? He looks a lot more tidier. You know, he's got his new little jacket. And that's what I really ended up seeing that Sunday. I was like, oh.
Never will that for us.
You know, he looked like the homeless man on the ring road, didn't he, after the album?
Exactly. But 6 months' time, do you reckon he'll still look like that when he's at Tottenham? And I doubt he will. He'll look... like, he'll get that big coat back out, won't he? But yeah, I don't know. Because I think it's fair to say we shouldn't be giving him, like, we shouldn't be waiting for the coach and all that palaver that happened against Man United, because that would just be embarrassing to do that again, wouldn't it? But I don't know. I think maybe, is it better at the end of the game to, like, give him a clap rather than before, because, you know, we want to win the game, so we should be getting behind our own team, behind the new manager. It's the first competitive game at home. It's not really, to be fair, it's not even ideal timing, is it? Because I think whatever's happens, I think there's going to be drama, isn't there? There's probably going to be fighting in the stands over it or something. Ball.
Probably.
You don't need Nuno to come back for that.
Yeah.
No, for me, it's I've got to agree. Like, again, Twitter's just balmy. It's like you got people who want like a songs of praise hymn sheet on the seats, and I'm like thinking, honest to God, what the fuck is this? And then you've got people who are like, you've got to make it hostile and horrible and fuck Nuno and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, well, when is Molineux never not hostile? You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be hostile. Everyone's like making out like it needs to be like fucking war torn, and we need to start throwing flares at Spurs fans. And it's like, I don't see what's wrong with if there's like a little, and I mean this, like a little ripple of applause, and then that's it. Like, you know, that, what's wrong with that? Like, I'm sure I'm not the only one who hopes we beat him 5-0. I want to see him crying and pulling his beard like angry Santa. I want him to hate every minute of it, but you can't not respect the man for what he's done for the large part of his time at Wolves. I just don't get all this, oh, well, fuck him. Fuck, you know, sorry, there's going to be a lot of fucks in this
I'll just put it on explicit. It's fine.
But am I wrong in that? Like, are you the same as me? That it's like, well, surely you can respect someone, like, without and still want to make it hostile. Like, I don't get all this. He's dead. He's not dead. He's on the sideline. But at the same time, I'm not going to be shouting "Nuno had a dream" and like clapping at Eddie Spurs goals. That bit's just stupid.
Well, surely he's moved on already. That he's a professional man. He'll have moved on, and so should we.
It looks like he's going out on a night out in Camden on Sunday. He's definitely moved on. It looked like he was going to fucking... Again, I've said it again, sorry. It looked like he was going to Bilster Market when he was at Whatmore last season. Like, he's a different man. So, yeah.
He's just
If they score, there's no way he probably won't. He probably will celebrate.
It'd annoy me if he didn't. It would annoy me if he didn't. I'm just saying, if he's like, I hate it when players put their hands up, like, I'm really sorry. Don't be sorry. You're employed by a club to do a job now. So, yeah, I don't want to see him punching the air and giving it the whole thing, but I don't want him to be, respectful to us either. If we're not going to be respectful to him, why should he be respectful to us?
Kim said the same. Kim said it right. It's the worst possible thing was for us to have him back down at Molineux, first game of the season. If it had been like November time, we might have, you might be in a bit of a bad run or something. We could all have accepted a bit more, the feeling would have gone by then. But to get him first game, and people's probably feeling still a bit raw, they never got to say goodbye to him at the Man United game, etc., etc. But Stu, what are you going to do? Are you going to give him a rousing reception when he takes the stand, or are you going to be throwing your season ticket at him?
Well, if you throw your season ticket, you're going to have a long wait to get a card, aren't you, at this rate? that's another nonsense story. But for a bit of context, when I got on the Atherton on Saturday, there were genuinely people, there was five of them, came up to me and said, "You got your wish then, didn't you? What are you about?" It was you and your type got rid of him. You got him at the club. I went, "I know, and I'm glad." Fuck him. I said, if he'd still been here, I wouldn't have renewed because I couldn't have took it anymore. It was bored. I was bored to the core. But like Jordan said, you can't hate him. That's silly. That's nonsense. Obviously, he did amazing things for us. It was the end of the road, as Boys to Men have said many times. A nice ripple of applause, because I think it kind of plays into our hands, because is it this COVID nonsense? Is it still one team first and not two teams together that are coming out of the tunnels?
So, yeah. Especially at tight, isn't it, the tunnel?
Yeah. Well, so I think that's going to play into our hands, because either way, he's going to get a separate applause than Bruno is. Ideally, he comes out first, because is it away teams come out first?
Oh, first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he'll get his applause then. And then a bigger roar for when Bruno comes out. I think he works perfectly for us. And then once we've thrashed him or whatever, he'll get a nice round of applause from the South Bank, you'd imagine, as he's walking off the pitch. That's all it has to be. Because that's what it was when Mick McCarthy came back. That's what it was when did Dave Jones ever come back with Cardiff? He must have done.
I think he must have, yeah.
Yeah, he must have done.
So it's the ones who've achieved things. You recognise it, but don't go over the top. Don't be silly. But that's a respect. That's all that needs to happen. Everything else, everyone's moved on now. He's got his new life. He looks better. Fine. He'll balloon by winter. We all know this, as we all will. But yeah, anything more than that, you need to have your hard drive checked. Let's just put it in there.
Yeah, but there's like people on Twitter who are like, "Lord and save." It's like the Pope coming, like, for the Catholics. That's how they're treating it. Like, "Oh, we're going to get the red carpet out for him." Then you got the other half of it. They want to assassinate him. It's like, hang on a minute. Like, can't you just respect what someone's done and still want to beat them? Like, I don't understand this. I don't get it, to be quite honest.
I think they've all got a screw loose, haven't they? All of them have got a screw loose. Whether they're Nuno lovers or Nuno haters, I genuinely think they've all got a screw loose, personally.
So we're the weirdos who are like sort of balanced then. Do we need to pick a side?
Yeah, it's a civil war, eh?
Either way, if you're a Nuno lover or hater, someone's going to be there with like a bed sheet or a sign on Sunday.
Thank you for all you've done for us. Yeah. Kiss.
Thank you, Nuno.
But guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, it is baffling. It's like as we've said, everyone's picking sides, and I guarantee there's going to be definitely some arguments, isn't there, in the stands when someone's booing, probably. Like I say, going over the top for comic effect, someone will be booing away. The next person, definitely going to have a go, aren't they? Definitely going to have a go. It's probably in the safe bank, if anywhere else.
Pie in the face, aren't they, at some point? Someone's going to have food or a bottle. You just couldn't see it happening, Marlow. It's all going to kick off. That's just Wolves to a T.
But how do we think the game itself is going to go then? So, because he had a good result against Man City. Probably, I would say, somewhat an unexpected win against Man City. But then again, you know, he did have quite a good record over the Bull Fraud in his time at Wolves. So, how do we see it going? We're gonna assume at this point in time it will be another Kane-less Spurs until that situation gets resolved. But Stu, I'll come to you first. How do you see it going, and what do you think the score will be?
Well, my preview for the Leicester game, I said 3-3, and I got that wrong. But it was as entertaining as a 3-3 could have been. I can see it again. I mean, he played the Nuno playbook there against Man City to a T. Exactly, hit him on the break. Be compact. Be organised. Do your jobs. You know exactly what he's going to do.
Solutions,
yeah. You got solutions without Kane, almost like he's using sweetener. I expect him to do that, even though it's little old Wolves now and the mighty Spurs are coming to town. I can't see him playing like they did under Mourinho against us when we should have beat them. I think we've got more about us now from an attacking point of view. It's going to be the story of the season, eh? If we can get at them, then I fancy us to score a few. If they hit us on the break, we're fucked. Especially if that same back three is there, other than King Kilburn, of course. But neck on the line, I'd fancy us for a 2-1 win at this point in time on Monday night. With, you'd expect no new signings. Maybe Semedo, he's played in the under-23s tonight. So if he comes back in, I fancy us. And I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago. Absolutely no chance.
George, how do you see it going?
I fancy it's big time, I do. After watching us and watching them, and I know that's ridiculous because they just beat Man City. Nuno isn't going to change his style that he had with Wolves. Like, he's going to try and stink the place out away from home, play for a point. He's going to try and play for 0-0 at half-time and try and nick something in the second half and play on moments. Exactly like they did against Man City. A bit of Son brilliance where, in reality, Diaz probably should have blocked the ball anyway. That's what they're going to do again. And I think we can get at them. And I think that, you know, Man City played like walking football at the time. I don't know what they were doing, really. At the end of the day, they've got Jaffet Tanganga, Davison Sanchez and Eric Dyer at the back. We should be able to get at that and cause problems. And I don't think Man City did anywhere near enough to hurt them. And yeah, I'm with Stu. I think we'll beat them 2-3-1.
Oof. The positivity is brimming here. Kim, are you going to take us over the line? Positivity hat trick? Or are you going
to... No, I might have to bring us down. Back you're going to hit us with some impending doom. Sorry. No, I genuinely think it'll be... I've done a lot of sitting on the fence on this podcast, and this is not like me, but I genuinely think it's going to be sort of a high-scoring draw. I'm going to go a 2-2. I can see Son getting in behind. Behind Cody, probably. you know, he's going to be playing up top again, isn't he? I would imagine Kane won't start. Would Doherty start? Potentially. Because I think they were saying that they played Tam Tanga just because of the lack of sort of pace from Doherty, and I think that, you know, Nuno obviously did at times prefer Doherty when he played for us when we were sort of on the attack. So, yeah, 2-2, I'm going. I'm being optimistic, but I'm not getting carried away.
Doc against Traore.
We'll see. After you just slated him the whole podcast.
Yeah, well, that's what he can do there. He can go. He can run at people and beat them. He can't do anything after that. If he passed it off once he'd done that, then that's fine. No problem there.
We'll just raise a point, though, there with Doherty. Doherty was with us for, like, 10 seasons, so does he get a louder ripple of applause?
He was hated when he was here, for no reason at all.
Well, it's something to ask, you know, Wolves. If they wanted to, like, if they want to assassinate Nuno, what do they want to do with Doherty? It's not Mr. Burns and Waylon Smithers coming back.
Ask Kev. What do you think, Kev Wolf, what he thinks?
He's the barometer.
So, well, I mean, we all seem to be roundly pretty positive there. No one's tipping us for a loss, which is a good thing. And so hopefully Bruno gets the better of Nuno on Sunday. So we're going to call it there, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we're delighted to be part of the 90-minute network here at the Wolves Fancast. You can follow us on the socials at Wolves Fancast. And I'll be all the socials on Twitter, Facebook, Insta, YouTube. Get on there, get liking and get subscribing, please. So all that remains to say is take care, and we'll be back after the game on Sunday against Spurs. See you all later.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?